Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it is a Tuesday, for it's always a Tuesday. It's a bit of a different Tuesday, though, as we are sans Patrick Harris. That bastard mouse down in Anaheim got him and his family for a few days. He is down in Southern California at Disneyland, but we do have across the glass Jordan Schultz on this fine Tuesday, this All-Star Game Tuesday.
I don't want to say it's lit because it's not, but it's something, right? It's something.
Boy, those jerseys are lit.
I miss the days where they just wore their normal jerseys during the game.
Hey, you know, we got plenty of All-Star stuff to get into, so let's not...
I'm breaking the sports.
Let's not get too crazy here.
Yeah, Patrick's down in Anaheim. I hope he stopped by the Magic Store for me at Disneyland's Main Street Central area.
Hey, I will say, though, that there is a All-Star Game-themed poll question right now on 1080 The Fan Twitter page X. And the Hot Corner poll question brought to you by a fatty horseshoe dip of chewing tobacco on both your top and bottom lip and swallowing the tobacco spit like a real man.
Oh, like in the Sandlot.
Yes.
Yeah, tequila.
Just gutting it, you know? what's the worst part of this MLB All-Star break? And we will get to just about all of this. Home Run Derby National Anthem, the jerseys, no Livy Dunn simulcast, or the new Home Run Derby format. So you can go ahead and have some fun on the Twitter or the X there and cast your vote on the Hot Corner poll question. But yeah, it's All-Star break, All-Star game, All-Star festivities.
Woo.
Down in Tejas. But we had a fun little event last week, and I did not get to talk about it on Sunday because I was out camping. Boy, what a weekend to go camping and not have service, and then you return to the civilization, and then you see some news going across
across the Twitter sphere.
Oh, you
across
missed
the
that?
World. Yeah, I just come back to civilization. What? Whose ear got shot? Wait, what? Yeah, that was pretty insane to come back to civilization with that happening.
Yeah, one of the most awful historic days of all time. Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the best historic days of all time, it will go down in history, a day that will live in infamy, good infamy, was last Thursday at the Fan Golf Classic. And I have to address a few things. Yes, I did almost have a hole in one.
It's over!
Just inches, a mere 2 inches, a mere Joe Fisher inches away from making a hole in one on the hole six volcano hole in front of the gallery, in front of the 1080 the fan crew, in front of Derek and the Doers crew. I was so damn close. I've never gotten that close to a hole in one in my life.
Dude, that was a big deal.
Dude, that effing close.
Like what, an inch and a half, literally?
Yeah, two revolutions, maybe three.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I did, I went back and listened to it this morning, but I heard that Andy Dirt Johnson would have quit the show, the morning show, would have quit golf and walked right off of the course if I made that shot. So now I'm just even more upset that I didn't go in. Because I would have loved to see that.
You motivated for next year's Fan Golf Classic?
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes, because I played in both rounds, which, not advisable. It sounded like a great idea to begin with.
Yeah, you and Will Ortner did that.
Yeah, so I was set to play in the afternoon round at the 1 o'clock tee time. I played with the fantastic Portland Pickles group. Shout out to Parker, Jeremiah Coughlin, and Nick. That was a fun group to play with.
Hell yeah.
But 6:50 rolled around on the clock in the morning time. You know, I was there, I was helping getting some guys registered, I got my Victor Rico's burrito, doing my thing, and then 6:50-ish comes on the clock. This is when everybody's getting to their carts, you know, it's go time. Everybody's about to get taken out to their hole where they're starting.
Yeah.
And then Marisa, one of the fellow account executives, she comes up and she says, hey, two of the guys for the Victor Rico's group are not here, and one of them bailed. So they literally just had one of their people in their group. The two showed up later, but they needed a ringer. And it took me about 5 to 10 seconds to just be like,
yes, please.
I'll go grab my bag and my shoes. Give me a second. So I went out to the car, got suited up, got booted up, and I ended up golfing with the Victor Rico's guys for 17 holes. Because when we got to basically the last hole, I was like, I need to leave because if I play this last hole, I am not going to get back to the clubhouse in time for the 1 o'clock tee time that I was originally scheduled for. So it was 35 consecutive holes, basically, with a, I would say, 15-minute break in between from me getting back to the clubhouse, dealing with some stuff, and then getting back on the cart and going out to the course. And so next year, that will not be happening. That will not be happening at all. I will be playing the afternoon round, preferably. I would like the morning to chill, to go around, check out the spots. We'll probably have, early talks. We still have, you know, like 51 weeks to get it sorted out. But hole six, I think that might be something that we do again next year where we have some sort of drink provider out there with the 1080 the fan crew. Trying to make it a little bit bigger and better. We were talking about doing a dunk tank.
Maybe we need something like that.
And years ago, we had, one of like the young female sales associates, like get in the dunk tank,
of course,
which, you know, probably not going to happen again next year, but we're thinking maybe like a dad bod dunk tank, like, get me up there with a white t-shirt and some, Daisy Dukes and, have me in the dunk tank.
Oh yeah. Throw my man boobs up there.
Have
work.
Yeah. Have Kurt Ludwig in there. You know,
Tubbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
oh, I'm sure people would throw at Will Ortner. They'd love to get him in the dunk tank.
Well, it's gotta be dad bod. It's got to be dad bod.
I think he would say he qualifies, but I would say no.
There will be more discussions about what will happen at hole six next year. We're trying to make it like hole 16 at the Waste Management.
Dude, I think you should do everything just like you did this year so you can repeat your performance and almost get a hole in one. Like that's you got to stick with the routine, bro. That's
dude,
huge.
So close. So close.
That was, and I was there. I witnessed it. It was so much fun, dude. Congrats. I'm jelly because I suck at golf. But that was cool to watch.
Well, Schultzy, I don't know if you know this story, but I, too, one day sucked at golf. And it was about 4 years ago, 2020, COVID year, is when I really started getting back into golf, as did a lot of people. I had golfed before. I had played some rounds in my life. But 2020, that's when I went full bore into it, right?
Yeah.
And I went out with Dirt and Sprague and former sales bro Kyle Knepper. We went out to the fantastic Eastmoreland Golf Course. We started on the 10th hole, which runs adjacent to Bybee Boulevard. And my tee shot, real vicious slice. Just, it takes off and it boomerangs right towards Bybee Boulevard. And so I'm like, all right, we're off to a rough start. Hopefully that didn't hit a car or struck a pedestrian or anything. And then, you know, we finish hole one, or hole 10, rather. We get to hole 11. We tee off on hole 11. And as we're walking down the fairway of hole 11, two golf carts start approaching us from the clubhouse. And we're like, oh boy, what is this?
Oh, God.
And sure enough, the question is asked, hey, did anybody slice a ball on hole 10 by chance? Yes, I did. It hit this woman's car. Yes. So that round of golf turned into one of my more expensive rounds of golf because I had struck this woman's car, which in retrospect, I don't know what the rules are there. That's kind of one where I almost want to leave to the text line and be like, hey, do you assume the risk if you are driving on a road that is next to a golf course? And should I have paid for that woman's window or not?
Well, do you assume the risk in like the contract that you verbally agreed to or whenever you pay? I don't know if you have to sign something at that course, but I would think that they have that taken care of in their terms and conditions already.
Well, I'm sure with houses are a different story, right?
Of course.
Like, you know, if you have a house on a golf course and you get your window broken, it's like, dude, you live on a golf course. Like, have your insurance take care of it. I'm not paying for this, okay? But a car that is driving on a road right through a golf course, I ended up being the good Samaritan that I was and covering the window. And but in retrospect, I was like, I don't know if I should have done that.
You're young. They knew that they were working with a very impressionable man that hadn't really lived life yet.
The worst part of that was while they drove up on the 11th fairway, I was also drinking a beverage that I did not buy from the facility, which according to OLCC rules is not allowed. So they're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, that beer, you got to dump that out, too.
Oh, God.
That was the worst part. It wasn't even breaking the window. That was like, okay. And then it was just like, yeah, you got to dump that beer.
So like,
and it was just like, go!
Do you keep trying to golf there? Or like, did that end the round for you? Because like, I just would have been so discouraged. I go home. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm just, no.
Oh, trust me. I powered through. I finished the round. It was one of my worst rounds I ever played. And I'm still here today. I'm still standing. I'm still here playing golf.
That encourages me. I hopefully will not break anybody's car window.
Yeah, I was with Dirt and Sprague, and it was a rough day out there. And it's gonna be funny to see what happens on Friday because I'm gonna be going out with them and Jason Swigard on Friday to Mount Hood, Oregon Resort to play a round of golf. And there is a road, but I don't know if there's enough cars on that road for my ball to strike. I need to knock on some wood immediately. By the way, to make sure that everything goes according to plan on Friday.
You know, they could just hang a big old net in front of an open street. I don't know how they do it at a baseball stadium now. Like, so I don't know how easy or hard that would be in a park or next to a golf course with trees around you. With that, I don't know.
P1 Rufio's chiming in. Feels like the course should have covered it, especially if there is no netting. Now, I will say there was some large trees that I feel like could have gotten in the way and maybe helped out my slice, but that is not what happened.
But there were things to actually like get a net hung on to. Oh, that's stupid. I think I'm on your side, Joe. I'm not sure that I would have wanted to pay.
That was one of my first rounds getting back into golf, and we've come a long way, all right? So I once was shooting well over 120, Schultzy, and embarrassing myself on a regular basis. And while I still embarrass myself on a regular basis, not as much.
I don't mind embarrassing myself. That's right. I have my voice is cracked in front of 5,000 people trying to sing God Bless America. Okay, like I have ran out of the bathroom with my pants down. Like I have embarrassed myself in more ways than I can imagine. So I don't think looking ridiculously ugly on a golf course trying to hack at it is gonna do too bad to my ego. So.
Well, now I'm curious what the reasoning was for you running out of the bathroom with your pants down, but we are up against it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to save that. Save that for another time.
So I will give you a little bit of a preview, and one thing that you did say about your voice cracking during God Bless America, that was something that basically happened last night during the Home Run Derby.
Oh, we got Joe. I got a lot to say about that.
I'm sure you do. The voice that you are. I'm sure that you have certain feelings on that national anthem. We did have a home run derby though as well. We also have some jersey talk. It was also Rob Manfred's State of the Union talk, speech, whatever, him get with press, media members to...
Everybody look at me, listen to what I have to say to you. I am a powerful commissioner.
A bunch of stuff. Some trade deadline stuff as well. There was a couple reports that came out today. One concerning one of the all-star pitchers. One concerning your Seattle Mariners. We got a lot to get to. We may get to it all. We may not. And that's the fun of this show. Richard Simmons died this weekend?
Yeah, actually, we had a lot of deaths this weekend. Richard Simmons.
And almost deaths.
The former president getting shot at. Shannon Doherty, 90210. She died, I believe, at the age of 53 or 54, fighting cancer on Friday as well. Like, we had...
What's she from again?
Beverly Hills 90210 and Charmed. She was Prue in Charmed, I believe, was her
name. Charmed. I just know of Charmed because that's the show that always showed up on TNT in the mornings if you left your TV on that channel.
from NBA games, yes, the night before. Yeah.
And I would get stuck watching Charmed for about 15 to 20 minutes because there are some hots. Charmed had hots.
They had a lot of hots. And then Julian McMahon, the guy that went on to star in Nip Tuck. Yeah, that hottie from Nip Tuck fame, too. So that was an early show for him.
So we got a lot to get to. But first, let's start with the home run derby that was last night. Events that came of it, and if we're digging the new format, this is the Hot Corner. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, Cross the Glass, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Home Run Derby was the first of the festivities at All-Star Break. Well, really, it was the celebrity softball game, but who watches that?
I used to.
The word celebrity, boy, it has changed over the years.
Yeah, it used to be like some really fun people that you actually knew who they were. Nowadays, it's every influencer under the age of 22 is now apparently a celebrity, which I guess I sound old, but just... pass me right over on that.
I think the only people that I knew from the celebrity softball match were the two guys that were from Dude Perfect because of my son. Deion Sanders, I think, was one of the coaches. And then, of course, Jenny Finch. Oh, T.O. and Dez Bryant were there as well.
Okay, so like what? You just named five or six out of, I think, 30 people plus that are playing in that game.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rosters. Yeah, I know who Kane Brown is, the country music star.
A lot of mediocre country stars nowadays.
I think there was like a percussionist for a Latino band that was out there as well.
What?
Yeah, I had never heard of him.
Nothing against percussionists or Latino bands, but it just doesn't sound like that. Like this person is very known.
It was in Tejas, so you know, I mean, maybe it was
local celeb.
Yeah, they were known down there. But yeah, not a lot of people that I knew of. But we did know who was in the home run derby. First things first, are we digging the new format? Because the 40 pitches or the 3 minutes, I feel like it's just rapid fire. And you can't really admire the home run. Like, that was one of the great things about the home run derby back in the day, is if a dude hit a bomb, like,
yeah,
the batter itself, the fans, the announcers, like, people could sit on it and watch it and be like, oh my God, he effing crushed this ball.
Like, look at that majestic shot.
Whereas now it's like, oh wow, that was a big one. On to the next one. Oh, we got a hold of that. On to the next one. And also what killed me yesterday during the broadcast is, and this happens during the dunk contest as well, is the announcers always getting ahead of themselves. And they're like,
yep,
oh man, he got a hold of that one. 401 feet.
I know, like, wait,
dude, that might be his longest one of the day. 409 feet, and he had a 440 footer like 5 pitches before.
Which homer are you watching, bro?
So I, and Patrick is 100% right. He has said this in the last few episodes of the Hot Corner, is that they are changing it every year to where you don't know what the hell is going on. My favorite part of the new format was the bonus round.
Yeah,
like, choosing your pitches, making sure you time them up. Yes. You only have 3 outs, possibly 4 if you hit the home run over 425 feet. But again, like, with this format, it's just swing at everything, rapid fire. We're going to try and get as many home runs as possible in a 3 minute or 40 pitch period. And to me, it takes away the lore of some of those just moonshots. And also, I don't know what it is about the park, but it just seemed like it wasn't very hitter friendly, and I don't know if that's the case with Texas's new ballpark that they have there down there. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, I would have to look as far as comparison to other stadiums, is like how many home runs are getting hit out of it compared to others. But it just seemed like a lot of like sure bet home runs where guys are getting absolute hold of him are only getting like 4 or 5 rows back into this section. But with all that being said, Jordan, did you enjoy the new format and the home run derby?
I mean, I guess I enjoyed, as far as like Teoscar Hernandez winning, being a former Mariner, first Dodger ever to do it. Sure, I guess I enjoyed that part of it. But the format itself, no. I hate the way that they're doing it. I was actually watching and fell asleep to it. It was kind of nice and relaxing, some old home run derbies.
That's how you know that format is just killing it, when you take a mid-home run derby nap.
No, I'm talking about the old ones.
Oh.
No, I'm talking about the classic ones that I actually am very nostalgic about, just giving me those feels back in the day, reminding me of what was the home run derby's awesome allure, and that was just the moonshots that, as you say, we all got to admire. And not just those, but really the names of the names in Major League Baseball. The top of the bill, Mark McGwire, Ken Griffey Jr., Brett Boone, all of these guys, Man Ram.
I was going to say, we did have roided up freaks back in the 90s and early 2000s, so that might have helped too.
Well, you are right, and actually to this point, and to your point about the changing home run derby format, you look at some of those scores. I mean, it was like Mark McGwire hitting 13 home runs in the first round back then, Ken Griffey Jr. hitting 15 to 18. And I think one of the reasons, or maybe the main reason, that MLB changed the format up is because Josh Hamilton, you remember in like what, 2007, 2008, when he had that like 30 plus home run first round.
Noted murderer, Josh Hamilton?
Yes, Josh, and drug addict, and just all around terrible person off the baseball field. But oh boy, he can hit it over the fence. So yeah, let's try to support his failed rehab attempts. Anyways, my point is that he hit a bunch of home runs in that home run derby in the first round. And that was still in the 10 out format that you and I are talking about, how awesome it is. And that really was, as you said, gave us time to admire things. We really got to experience things. Chris Berman wouldn't have time in today's home run derby format to go back, 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 back. He would have a heart attack trying to keep up. And I think that kind of transition.
It's probably the one thing I don't miss, or that I do. That I definitely don't miss about the home run derbies is Chris Berman sounding like a duck. I wish I had the drop page up right now.
I know. Yeah. Dang. I wish I did too. But honestly, I think that point you saw the executives kind of seeing stars, and it's like, all right, maybe we should just watch a lot of home runs in a short period of time. And I think since then, especially with these recent home run derby performances, it's very memorable. Julio Rodriguez in Seattle last year with that first round that he had. It's like they're valuing this quantity over quality, and they're changing the rules to fit that. But then with this bonus round, with the three outs, possibly four, they're trying to bring back a little bit of that classic feel as well. So I really don't like the format unless you're talking about the bonus round. And I wish MLB would go back to literally what they were doing in the mid-2000s. And if not, they need to do more of a hybrid than they're doing right now. And I would say implement a much better bonus round that has more outs included in it. I mean, I'll take it. If you said, hey, Schultzy, Joe, you get the old home run derby format, but you have to listen to Chris Berman, I'd do it.
Yeah, I would probably take that as well.
There you go.
Get AI Chris Berman, because dear Lord, how old is he now?
Oh, he's in his 70s. He's got to be in his 70s. Kicking around, though.
Is he even doing anything, or is he just he's put out doing, to pasture?
The NFL recaps. So what's the ESPN Sunday show that he always did on Sunday evenings?
That
Sunday Countdown?
That Sunday show. NFL Primetime.
It's like ESPN Sunday Countdown and Monday Night Countdown. NFL Primetime, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah, NFL Primetime. Yeah,
NFL Primetime, and I believe they're doing that on like ESPN Plus or like a digital. They don't air it on ESPN, but you can watch that every Sunday night, like just on ESPN's app. So if he's doing anything outside of that, I wouldn't know. But I think that's at least one thing he's doing.
Well, let us know on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6FAN. All texts go to the Vancouver Ford text line, and your dollar goes further before, during, and after the sale. And I mixed up that read 100%. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Text in how you felt about the home run derby, but I'm going to make your ears bleed in this next segment. We are all going to sit through this together, because if you did not hear it, dear God, it was one for the ages. We get to that next year. The Hot Corner on 1080 the Fan, but first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update. No Patrick Harris tonight or next week.
Oh, yeah, this is a two-week trip. Dude, they're in Disneyland for a long time.
No, he's got a work thing next week.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's expensive. Patrick's making some serious radio money I didn't know about.
No, apparently he's going to, he will be back home. He will be in town. He's going to be at our Portland Pickles Walker Stadium next week.
Ooh.
He has a work thing that I believe they scheduled and then rescheduled for him and then scheduled again or something like that. And it fell on a Tuesday. So he's Disneyland in it up today, out at the Portland Pickles game next week. Unfortunately, will not be able to throw out a first pitch and redeem himself, but that might be on the table for next year. Fingers crossed for his sake.
Speaking of beer at the Pickles games, didn't they move 10-cent beer night from last month to this Thursday?
I hope it's next Tuesday when he goes. I don't know. They did have to reschedule it, but yeah. I do, for his sake, hope it is next Tuesday.
I'm looking at Portland Pickles versus Ridgefield Raptors Thursday, July 18th, 10-cent beer night.
Nice.
So supposedly going to be able to get some 10-cent Widmer beers that night. I might have to go out there.
Yeah, we'll be out, myself and some of the Odyssey Portland crew, July 26th, that Friday. I believe that is Portugal the Man night.
Ooh.
That was one of the other rescheduled games. I don't think Portugal the Man will be there, which is unfortunate.
Okay.
But it is, I guess, a Portugal the Man themed night, whatever that means. All right. We're going to sit through this together, because this is an all-timer.
All right. Do you have it? Do you need me to play it?
I believe I have it right here. Yes. But, I mean, this goes down in history. This, and unlike some of the other infamous national anthems, this was done by a, I throw up the air quotes, actual singer. You know, the famous national anthems that we know that were absolutely terrible. Were Roseanne Barr,
Carl Lewis,
Carl Lewis,
and the Rock. Rock, it's Red Glam.
Two non-singers. This was a national anthem in Texas, so they got themselves a country music, and I throw out the air quotes again, star.
I mean, she is a four-time Grammy nominee, which, I don't know, for country music.
I think we got to do some more vetting process for that award.
I bet you I could sing country just like Luke Bryant. It's that easy. I mean, literally, add a twang to your voice. It's that easy.
Chucks.
Yep.
Blood. Beer.
Now, I think you could get a Grammy just for that line.
I'm getting calls already. The phone is starting to ring. How about that? I need to hit up Scott Roddy over on 99.5 The Wolf and tell him to get me on the station. But this was Ingrid Andress?
I think it's Andress. Ingrid Andress.
So old Ingrid, she went up to sing the national anthem last night at the All-Star Game, or excuse me, at the Home Run Derby. And this was her performance.
Oh, say can you see
key change back to the
by the dawn's early light.
We're doing all right.
What so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Not so bad yet.
It was okay.
Here it goes.
And the rocket's red glare.
Nope. Key change. Another key change.
That our flag was still there.
Dear God.
Oh, say does that star sprinkle
when everyone else just starts singing.
Dear God, that is going down as one of the worst. It could possibly be the worst, seeing that, again, she is a actual, air quotes again,
singer.
But, oh my God. Ford, absolutely speechless. And then the reports come out today, actually, not reports, she just posted it on her Instagram herself. I'll try and find her exact quote, but she definitely had to address the public on that. That was the second assassination attempt on our country this week. She said on her Instagram, "I'm not going to bull S you," and I'll do it with a little country twang. "I'm not going to bull S you, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB. All the fans in this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun." So she was apparently drunk. She is checking herself into rehab. Whether that is all true or not, I don't know. But
I mean, I think she was drunk. The way she looked, she turned around and looked at the colors like she didn't know where she was. Yeah, she probably was sauced.
I got a lot of questions. I mean, who's making that call? One, does her father, being a former coach in the MLB for the Colorado Rockies and a few other organizations for about 15 years, did that have any influence on this decision? I want to know, is that the worst rendition of the national anthem of all time? I mean, I understand that the Carl Lewis and Roseanne Barr were complete atrocities. I would take the Unipipers over that, and I was there live for that one.
I mean, honestly, I think the Roseanne Barr is the worst, but if you're just talking about qualified singers, It's worse than the Fergie one that we heard a few years ago. That's for sure.
I would take the Fergie one.
No, over this,
10
absolutely.
Times out of 10.
Well, and Fergie was just trying to take artistic license with the national anthem. All right, and I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I'm going to toot my own horn. You got the best person on the station here to comment on this here situation.
Well, I could say Patrick Harris, possibly.
On the show. No, I'm the official crooner of 1080 The Fan. He lost. I won.
I don't know. I did not see any official poll results or any final Ryan Seacrest announcement
on that. Are you kidding me? Are you, if I had that, are you kidding me? I need that clip ready. No, but the point that I'm going to make here is that the national anthem, and this is a comment both on the anthem itself as a song and I guess on Ingrid's skill or performance or whatever you want to take out of that. Okay. The anthem is a tough song to perform. It's not easy. People think it's an easy song. It's absolutely not. And am I no way.
Well, when you get to that and the Rockets red glare part, you got to show off. You got to show that you can handle this.
You don't have
to. As soon as it got to that part, it was evident. She's like, we're in some trouble here.
Oh, yeah. Well, because she couldn't hold the key even with her. She usually these people that are singing in big stadiums that have echo. Have things in their ears so they don't hear the echo, but she just either didn't pay attention or was trying to stylize and was so drunk that she thought it was good. But I know that the anthem is a hard song to sing, so I'm not sure because I've heard
clearly.
I have not heard people this drunk do this badly, honestly, in my life before. Usually, some booze brings out a little bit of liquid courage in people. Kind of helps make things
a
little easier
crushed that.
In front
what
of people.
What the hell? She should have just crushed it like as if she was in a local karaoke bar singing Nickelback.
I mean, exactly. I heard Suk talking about like seeing Luke Bryant, you know, on stage and how, or no, that was Will Ortner, sorry, during primetime talking about how he was near falling off the stage, or maybe this was Suk and saying, but he still sang fairly well when it came to like actually performing the songs. If I get four beers in me, I feel like I'm a better singer because there's no filter. I don't care. I could be in front of 1,000 people and it doesn't scare me like it does when I'm sober. So I'm really confused as to what's actually happening here. And I do wonder about her actual level of artistic talent. The anthem is not easy, but dang. That it's just kind of like the combination of being way too drunk and way too confident at the same time, and that happened in front of 30,000 people. It was bad.
Also, can we address the apology and her signing off with the "I'll let you know how rehab goes"? I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid.
No, it's not. It's not going to be fun for you, honey.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, all right, is she actually going, or is she just going to like go to one of those resorts for like a week where they call it a rehab center, but actually you're just essentially there with a bunch of people from Hollywood and you're really not doing anything.
Hanging in a hot tub, riding on horses, playing pickleball, essentially.
Hey, and Textline chimes in. Why are they doing the anthem before a damn home run derby? Because, baby, this is America and we're in Texas.
That's actually a great question. No, you just answered the question perfectly, but why?
I mean, we literally do it before any like high school sporting event. Why
but
would
it's,
we
a
ho- not,
it's a
why
home run derby.
Why would we not
derby?
Do it before the home run
it's
derby?
It's a home run derby. It's not, to me, that's not like a game. It's more of like a, I don't know, are we going to like have a horse competition outside and do the anthem before that?
I'm down.
Well, then I want Ingrid Andress singing our anthem if we're doing a horse competition here at 1080.
And I'm not sure how old Cody Johnson did before the All-Star game. And yes, that was his name, the country singer that was singing that anthem before the All-Star game tonight. But I could even just tell with the TV on mute. I'm like, well, this guy looks sober. So, check there. And just from his confidence, how he was standing there, I was like, this guy's probably crushing it. I can't hear it, but he sounds like he's doing a good job.
Yeah, good for him. I didn't hear the anthem, but honestly, it's like probably, I guess if it sounds good, it's forgettable, right? Like, so it becomes a dime and a dozen at that point.
Well, again, text line, Vancouver Fort text line chiming in. Chris Stapleton at the Super Bowl was the best rendition of all time. I saw the Whitney Houston one going around.
Whitney Houston's anthem.
The Twitter sphere last night because people needed to cleanse their palate. But, hey, Ingrid, get the help that you need in your sobriety and your singing. And hopefully, maybe one of these days, you will have a redemption It will be like Patrick Harris throwing the first pitch out at the Pickles game. Hopefully you have your redemption arc here and are able to sing the national anthem again one day.
Let me quickly wrap it up with this, that yes, I hope that she does get the help that she needs, but this is just a tip for all those anthem wannabe singers out there or somebody trying to learn the anthem that hopes to do it. Simple is best. Less is more when it comes to the national anthem. And Joe,
yeah, I think, whistle it like that dude before the Orioles game.
Exactly. Well, and there's no style there. It's just like the notes. That's kind of what I'm trying to talk about here. You've got to just learn the song. Don't do all the whoop-de-doos and the rockets.
Well, she was doing that.
Do that.
She was kind of doing like the sexy kind of Marilyn Monroe jazz piano bar.
Why?
You know, instead of saying night, you say noit, you know?
Why? That's not how the anthem, and I understand music is made to be done in, you know, all different kinds of forms and redo a song, you know, pop, do it as an R&B song, do it as a classical song. But the anthem, I do believe, is one of those songs that you should just do, and you see so many people, Ingrid is another example, getting into trouble when they try to stylize it way too much.
How the banners wave, it's wave.
Weave.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Why? Just why, Ingrid? All right, that's enough of that. Let's put that
in. No, let's hear it again.
Let's, dear God. Let's put it in the time capsule, lock that baby up, and bury it in the dirt and have it never resurface again for 80 years. All right, All-Star Game going on right now. Actually, we have one more out until it finishes up. Let's take a look at what happened. And actually, we get a strikeout, Manuel Clase, 100 mile per hour, as the American League wins the All-Star Game. But are we losers? Because, dear God, our ears were bleeding in the last segment, and our eyes are bleeding as we're watching this game. We get to that next here. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. All-Star Weekend? Is that what it's called? Just All-Star Break?
All-Star Early Week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is over. The game just went final a couple of minutes ago. The American League wins 5-3. There is a poll question on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page. The Hot Corner poll question brought to you by a fatty horseshoe dip of chewing tobacco on both your top and bottom lip and swallowing the tobacco spit like a real man. What's the worst part of this MLB All-Star break? The home run derby national anthem, no living.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
No Patrick Harris tonight or next week.
Oh, yeah, this is a two-week trip. Dude, they're in Disneyland for a long time.
No, he's got a work thing next week.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's expensive. Patrick's making some serious radio money I didn't know about.
No, apparently he's going to, he will be back home. He will be in town. He's going to be at our Portland Pickles, Walker Stadium next week. Ooh. He has a work thing that I believe they scheduled and then rescheduled for him and then scheduled again or something like that. And it fell on a Tuesday. So he's Disneyland in it up today, out at the Portland Pickles game next week. Unfortunately, will not be able to throw out a first pitch and redeem himself, but that might be on the table for next year. Fingers crossed for his sake.
Speaking of beer at the Pickles games, didn't they move 10-cent beer night from last month to this Thursday?
I hope it's next Tuesday when he goes. I don't know. They did have to reschedule it, but yeah. I do, for his sake, hope it is next Tuesday.
I'm looking at Portland Pickles versus Ridgefield Raptors, Thursday, July 18th, 10-cent beer night.
Nice.
So supposedly going to be able to get some 10-cent Widmer beers that night. I might have to go out there.
Yeah, we'll be out, myself and some of the Odyssey Portland crew, July 26th, that Friday. I believe that is Portugal the Man night.
Ooh.
That was one of the other rescheduled games. I don't think Portugal the Man will be there, which is unfortunate.
Okay.
But it is, I guess, a Portugal the Man themed night, whatever that means. All right. We're going to sit through this together because this is an all-timer.
All right. Do you have it? Do you need me to play it?
I believe I have it right here. Yes. But, I mean, this goes down in history. This, and unlike some of the other infamous national anthems, this was done by a, I throw up the air quotes, actual singer. You know, the famous national anthems that we know that were absolutely terrible. Were Roseanne Barr.
Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis.
And the Rockets. Red Glam.
Two non-singers. This was a national anthem in Texas, so they got themselves a country music, and I throw out the air quotes again, star.
I mean, she is a four-time Grammy nominee, which, I don't know, for country music.
I think we got to do some more vetting process for that award.
I bet you I could sing country just like Luke Bryant. It's that easy. I mean, literally, add a twang to your voice. It's that easy.
Chucks.
Yep.
Blood. Beer.
Now, I think you could get a Grammy just for that line.
I'm getting calls already. The phone is starting to ring. How about that? I need to hit up Scott Roddy over on 99.5 The Wolf and tell him to get me on the station. But this was Ingrid Andress?
I think it's Andress. Ingrid Andress.
So old Ingrid, she went up to sing the national anthem last night at the All-Star Game, or excuse me, at the Home Run Derby. And this was her performance.
Oh, say can you see?
Key change back to the
old by the dawn's early light.
We're doing all right.
What so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Not so bad yet.
It was okay.
We watched,
Here it goes.
And the rocket's red glare.
Nope. Key change. Another key change.
That our flag was still there.
Dear God.
Oh, say does that star sprinkle
when I get way. Can
you change?
Dear God, that is going down as one of the worst. It could possibly be the worst, seeing that, again, she is a actual, air quotes again,
singer.
But, oh my God. floored, absolutely speechless. And then the reports come out today, actually, not reports, she just posted it on her Instagram herself. I'll try and find her exact quote, but she definitely had to address the public on that. That was the second assassination attempt on our country this week. She said on her Instagram, "I'm not going to bull S you," and I'll do it with a little country twang. "I'm not going to bull S you, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans in this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun." So she was apparently drunk. She is checking herself into rehab. Whether that is all true or not, I don't know. But
I mean, I think she was drunk. The way she looked, she turned around and looked at the colors like she didn't know where she was. Yeah, she probably was sauced.
I got a lot of questions. I mean, who's making that call? One, does her father, being a former coach in the MLB for the Colorado Rockies and a few other organizations for about 15 years, did that have any influence on this decision? I want to know, is that the worst rendition of the national anthem of all time? I mean, I understand that the Carl Lewis and Roseanne Barr were complete atrocities. I would take the Unipipers over that, and I was there live for that one.
I mean, honestly, I think the Roseanne Barr is the worst, but if you're just talking about qualified singers, it's worse than the Fergie one that we heard a few years ago, that's for sure.
I would take the Fergie one.
No, over this,
10 absolutely. Times out of 10.
Well, and Fergie was just trying to take artistic license with the national anthem. All right, and I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I'm going to toot my own horn. You got the best person on the station here to comment on this here situation.
Well, I could say Patrick Harris, possibly.
On the show. No, I'm the official crooner of 1080 The Fan. He lost. I won.
I don't know. I did not see any official poll results or any final Ryan Seacrest announcement.
Are you
on that.
Kidding me? Are you, if I had that, are you kidding me? I need that clip ready. No, but the point that I'm going to make here is that the national anthem, and this is a comment both on the anthem itself as a song and I guess on Ingrid's skill or performance or whatever you want to take out of that. Okay. The anthem is a tough song to perform. It's not easy. People think it's an easy song. It's absolutely not. And am I no way.
Well, when you get to that and the Rockets red glare part, you got to show off. You got to show that you can handle this.
As soon as
it got to that part, it was evident. She's like, we're in some trouble here.
Oh yeah. Well, because she couldn't hold the key even with her. She usually these people that are singing in big stadiums that have echoes, have things in their ears so they don't hear the echo, but she just either didn't pay attention or was trying to stylize and was so drunk that she thought it was good. But I know that the anthem is a hard song to sing, so I'm not sure, because I've heard
clearly
I have not heard people this drunk do this badly, honestly, in my life before. Usually some booze brings out a little bit of liquid courage in people. Kind of helps make things
a
little
easier in
front of people.
What the hell? She should have just crushed it like as if she was in a local karaoke bar singing Nickelback.
I mean, exactly. I heard Suk talking about like seeing Luke Bryant, you know, on stage and how, or no, that was Will Ortner, sorry, during primetime, talking about how he was near falling off the stage, or maybe this was Suk and saying, but he still sang fairly well when it came to like actually performing the songs. If I get four beers in me, I feel like I'm a better singer because there's no filter. I don't care. I could be in front of 1,000 people and it doesn't scare me like it does when I'm sober. So I'm really confused as to what's actually happening here. And I do wonder about her actual level of artistic talent. The anthem is not easy, but dang. That it's just kind of like the combination of being way too drunk and way too confident at the same time, and that happened in front of 30,000 people. It was bad.
Also, can we address the apology and her signing off with the "I'll let you know how rehab goes. I hear it's super fun." XO Ingrid.
No, it's not. It's not going to be fun for you, honey.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, all right, is she actually going, or is she just going to like go to one of those resorts for like a week where they call it a rehab center, but actually you're just essentially there with a bunch of people from Hollywood and really not doing anything.
Hanging in a hot tub, riding on horses, playing pickleball, essentially.
Hey, and text line chimes in. Why are they doing the anthem before a damn home run derby? Because, baby, this is America and we're in Texas.
That's actually a great question. No, you just answered the question perfectly, but why?
I mean, we literally do it before any like high school sporting event.
Why but it's would a we home, not, it's a
why
home run
Why would we not
derby?
Do it before the home run
it's
derby?
It's a home run derby. It's not, to me, that's not like a game. It's more of like a, I don't know, are we gonna like have a horse competition outside and do the anthem before that?
I'm down.
Well, then I want Ingrid Andress singing our anthem if we're doing a horse competition here at 1080.
And I'm not sure how old Cody Johnson did before the All-Star game. And yes, that was his name, the country singer that was singing that anthem before the All-Star game tonight. But I could even just tell with the TV on mute. I'm like, well, this guy looks sober. So, that I mean, check there. And just from his confidence, how he was standing there, I was like, this guy's probably crushing that. I can't hear it, but he sounds like he's doing a good job.
Yeah, good for him. I didn't hear the anthem, but honestly, it's like probably, I guess if it sounds good, it's forgettable, right? Like, so it becomes a dime and a dozen at that point.
Well, again, text line, Vancouver Port text line chiming in. Chris Stapleton at the Super Bowl was the best rendition of all time. I saw the Whitney Houston one going around.
Whitney Houston's anthem.
The Twitter sphere last night because people needed to cleanse their palate. But, you know, hey, Ingrid, get the help that you need in your sobriety and your singing. And hopefully, maybe one of these days, you will have a redemption. It will be like Patrick Harris throwing the first pitch out at the Pickles game. Hopefully you have your redemption arc here and are able to sing the national anthem again one day.
Let me quickly wrap it up with this, that yes, I hope that she does get the help that she needs, but this is just a tip for all those anthem wannabe singers out there or somebody trying to learn the anthem that hopes to do it. Simple is best. Less is more when it comes to the national anthem. And Joe,
yeah, I think, whistle it like that dude before the Orioles game.
Exactly. Well, and there's no style there. It's just like the notes. That's kind of what I'm trying to talk about here. You've got to just learn the song. Don't do all the whoop-de-doos and the rockets.
Well, she was doing that.
Do that.
She was kind of doing like the sexy kind of Marilyn Monroe jazz piano bar.
Why?
You know, instead of saying night, you say noit, you know?
Why? That's not how the anthem, and I understand music is made to be done in, you know, all different kinds of forms and redo a song, you know, pop, do it as an R&B song, do it as a classical song. But the anthem, I do believe, is one of those songs that you should just do, and you see so many people, Ingrid is another example, getting into trouble when they try to stylize it way too much.
How the banners wave, it's wave.
Weave.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Why? Just why, Ingrid? All right, that's enough of that. Let's put that
in. No, let's hear it again.
Let's, dear God. Let's put it in the time capsule, lock that baby up, and bury it in the dirt and have it never resurface again for 80 years. All right, All-Star game going on right now. Actually, we have one more out until it finishes up. Let's take a look at what happened. And actually, we get a strikeout, Manuel Clase, 100 mile per hour, as the American League wins the All-Star game. But are we losers? Because, dear God, our ears were bleeding in the last segment, and our eyes are bleeding as we're watching this game. We get to that next here. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. All-Star Weekend? Is that what it's called? Just All-Star Break?
All-Star Early Week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is over. The game just went final a couple of minutes ago. The American League wins 5-3. There is a poll question on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page. The Hot Corner poll question brought to you by a fatty horseshoe dip of chewing tobacco on both your top and bottom lip and swallowing the tobacco spit like a real man. What's the worst part of this MLB All-Star break? The home run derby, national anthem, no Livy Dunn simulcast. I set the over-under at 2.5 appearances on the broadcast. I think the under hit. I only saw two Livy Dunn camera angles at or camera shots of her during Paul Skeens' debut, his appearance at the beginning of the game, and new home run derby format. New home run derby format, dead last at 2.2%. 17.4% for No Livy Dunn simulcast.
I mean, well, I don't know what you expect, bro. She's no Tay-Tay. So that's just not happening.
Boy, you know, she may not be as talented as a singer, but they should just have her doing gymnastic stunts the entire time. Just a simulcast of her doing the splits the entire time.
1,000%
Side by side.
I sound like an old perverted man right now, and I don't even care.
So far, the winner of the poll question, 41.3%, is that home run derby national anthem. But a very close second place, and you could decide the future of this poll question if you go to Tenny the Fan's Twitter page right now. Oh, the poll question is moving as I speak. Still in second place, though, the jerseys. My God, what are those things? Why? No. Please, God, change it and just go back to the team jerseys for each individual player. But cash rules everything around me. And so the league will be hard-pressed to make that change, because if you have a billion different jerseys, you have a billion different ways to make money. That's why you see the NBA with 18 different City Connect jerseys every season for each individual team. You have all these different renditions. The MLB has also jumped into that with their City Connect uniforms that they're starting to do as well. And the All-Star break has their jerseys, but after this year, man, I mean, I'm out. Those American League jerseys were god-awful.
Yeah. And I love the color pink, by the way, and that was something else.
See, audacity of them in the article I was reading about the jerseys to call their sleeves red. I was like, that is not red. And then seeing the hats with the red and the, I don't even know what you call that. That's highlighter blue. Like, that's not baby blue. That's highlighter blue. They just looked bad. Just so, so bad. And there is a way that you can still make, like, each of the players wear their team jerseys, but still have them be all-star jerseys, right? Yeah. Whether it's a patch, whether it's a gold trim on the collar, something, right?
That, like, you could actually come up with a lot cooler styles, in my opinion, doing something like you're mentioning.
You can make their last name in gold. You can trace their last name in gold. Do something else with their original team jerseys.
Add the words all-star below everybody's logo. Something. Yeah, I don't know.
You got to do something with it because, yeah, just again, looking at these jerseys, seeing Aaron Judge in that jersey, again, you're so used to seeing him in the New York pinstripes, but he looked goofy as hell.
And they're doing red and blue for the colors of the Texas flag, I would assume, right? Because the Texas flag is red, blue, and white.
Sure.
And it looks terrible, but I'm guessing that's why.
The brown that they used for the jerseys as well. Like, the National League jerseys were better. But it's because the American Leagues were just so god-awful with that poop brown tan that they're using, with that highlighter pink with the blue trim on it. Just no. Jaron Duran of your Boston Red Sox is the all-star MVP after hitting the two-run home run in the fifth inning,
I believe.
So. Gave them the lead. Gave them the two-run lead because my boy Anthony Santander was on base after getting a single. But he ends up getting the MVP honors. Paul Skeens, he was in there for that first inning to go up against Stephen Kwan. And then went up against Gunnar Henderson. He walked Juan Soto. And then Aaron Judge was a one-pitch, I believe, ground out to third base is how that went out. So it was a pretty anticlimactic appearance from Paul Skeens. One of the favorite things of this All-Star game was seeing Mason Miller out there throw a 103.7 mile per hour fastball, I believe, is what it was.
Yeah, he hit 104 against the Mariners the other night as well.
Dude is flames. Should be shopped. Should be a Baltimore Oriole. Along with someone else who was in that All-Star game, but we're going to get into some trade deadline stuff in the second hour. But the All-Star weekend is done in Texas. American League wins. They do not have home field advantage, that ending about 7 years ago with the All-Star break. Good little All-Star game.
This time it counts. And I will say that Nike has absolutely ruined jerseys, not just in MLB, but all sports. They have added all these crappy, ugly combos, and apparently we're all supposed to buy them all. No, No, I still try to pick one style and just sit on that. I don't. Plus, I don't believe that people have $140 to spend on jersey after jersey after jersey over and over again. And compared to last year's All-Star jerseys, they were awesome. The teal and the blue to match Seattle. The American League were the teal, and those look clean. They were the first version of these vapor jerseys that they're using in this year's version of baseball that everybody hates. But as far as like the actual design,
yeah, I'm looking at them again.
They looked clean. They looked way cleaner than this.
I mean, I was going to say they're better than this.
They
weren't
the bastion of like artistic success for design of jerseys, but they were better than this.
Low bar to clear, though.
Well, you're not wrong. That's true.
Also, I'm going to go on record and say that my least favorite City Connect jersey of all the City Connects is the Phillies. I do not like it whatsoever. I haven't read any description as to why they made the choices they did.
Yeah.
But the gradient black to blue with the blue and the yellow and colors that aren't even their teams. And I understand there are some teams that are using non-traditional colors for their City Connect, but the Phillies, I just absolutely hate. I don't like them whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't like the Twins either. And actually, frankly, all of the City Connect jerseys I'm out on, because that alone, that move with the City Connect jerseys with Nike creating those, forced the Mariners to get rid of their gray road jersey. Teams are allowed only 5 uniform slots under the new Nike design rules or whatever.
I like the Mariners City Connect jerseys.
No, it's not that I don't like the City Connect jerseys, but Nike then implemented rules and forced the Mariners. I believe they were the only team to lose their road jersey, their road grays. They have to wear that blue, that dark blue on the road, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, Minnesota's is kind of weird. Those blue ones as well. I'm not really feeling those.
Wacky design.
I could scan through all these. The one that I do, there's a couple that I don't mind. Tampa Bay's is kind of cool.
Yes, I agree
with that. Highlighter green and the gray and the purple caps or the purple bills on their cap. There's something about that Colorado Rockies, the green with like the mountain design on it. I really like those for some reason.
Yeah, I actually hate those, but I guess I could see why you like them. I think they look like an old postcard from 1992, but maybe that's the draw.
I'm a sucker for green, though. Like dark green, you know, green's one of my favorite colors. So it's like there's something about that jersey, that the green on the white, that's pretty sick. But yeah, All-Star break. It is wrapped up. It is finished. We will continue play in the second half of this MLB season. On Thursday, I believe. Actually, Friday.
No, I think everybody starts Friday.
Yeah, Friday. I was going to say, I saw that my Orioles, they start up again on Friday. And yes, it is Friday that the games will commence in the second half of the MLB. And the second half of this show will be up next here. We will get into some trade deadline stuff. Rob Manfred was saying some things about the future of the MLB and some changes to come. And we got a fair or foul to do. We got fair or foul, correct?
We can do a fair foul with each other.
Oh, that's right. Did you prepare one?
I prepared 3 questions, but it's
I have to ask because classic me back in the day as a producer, it'd be like, yeah, Patrick would say that. And I'd just be like, yeah, no, I mean, I don't think
it just doesn't sound like I don't want to just stump you. I mean, we can talk about some fun, hot topics around baseball, but like, I just feel like it doesn't hit as hard. But
it is fun.
Let's do it.
It is fun. It is fun. Second hour, Hot Corner, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, 1080. All-Star Weekend? Is that what it's called? Just All-Star Break?
All-Star Early Week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is over. The game just went final a couple of minutes ago. The American League wins 5-3. There is a poll question on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page. The Hot Corner poll question brought to you by a fatty horseshoe dip of chewing tobacco on both your top and bottom lip and swallowing the tobacco spit like a real man. What's the worst part of this MLB All-Star break? The home run derby, national anthem, no Livy Dunn simulcast. I set the over-under at 2.5 appearances on the broadcast. I think the under hit. I only saw 2 Livy Dunn camera angles at or camera shots of her during Paul Skeens' debut, his appearance at the beginning of the game, and new home run derby format. New home run derby format, dead last at 2.2%. 17.4% for no Livy Dunn simulcast.
I mean, well, I don't know what you expect, bro. She's no Tay-Tay. So that's just not happening.
Boy, you know, She may not be as talented as a singer, but they should just have her doing gymnastic stunts the entire time. Just a simulcast of her doing the splits the entire time.
1,000%
Side by side.
I sound like an old perverted man right now, and I don't even care.
So far, the winner of the poll question, 41.3%, is that Home Run Derby National Anthem. But a very close second place, and you could decide the future of this poll question if you go to 10 of the Fans' Twitter page right now. Oh, the poll question is moving as I speak. Still in second place, though, the jerseys. My God, what are those things? Why? No. Please, God, change it and just go back to the team jerseys for each individual player. But cash rules everything around me. And so the league will be hard-pressed to make that change, because if you have a billion different jerseys, you have a billion different ways to make money. That's why you see the NBA with 18 different City Connect jerseys every season for each individual team. You have all these different renditions. The MLB has also jumped into that with their City Connect uniforms that they're starting to do as well. And the All-Star break has their jerseys, but after this year, man, I mean, I'm out. Those American League jerseys were god-awful.
Yeah. And I love the color pink, by the way, and that was something else.
See, audacity of them in the article I was reading about the jerseys to call their sleeves red. I was like, that is not red. And then seeing the hats with the red and the, I don't even know what you call that. That's highlighter blue. Like, that's not baby blue. That's highlighter blue. They just looked bad. Just so, so bad. And there is a way that you can still make, like, each of the players wear their team jerseys, but still have them be all-star jerseys, right? Yeah. Whether it's a patch, whether it's a gold trim on the collar, something, right?
That, like, you could actually come up with a lot cooler styles, in my opinion, doing something like you're mentioning.
You can make their last name in gold. You can trace their last name in gold. Do something else with their original team jerseys.
Add the words All-Star below everybody's logo. Something. Yeah, I don't know.
You got to do something with it because, yeah, just again, looking at these jerseys, seeing Aaron Judge in that jersey, again, you're so used to seeing him in the New York pinstripes. But he looked goofy as hell.
And they're doing red and blue for the colors of the Texas flag, I would assume, right? Because the Texas flag is red, blue, and white.
Sure.
And it looks terrible, but I'm guessing that's why.
The brown that they used for the jerseys as well. Like, the National League jerseys were better. But it's because the American Leagues were just so god-awful with that poop brown tan that they're using, with that highlighter pink with the blue trim on it. Just no. Jaron Duran of your Boston Red Sox is the All-Star MVP after hitting the two-run home run in the fifth inning,
I believe.
Think so. That sounds right. That gave them the lead. Gave them the two-run lead because my boy Anthony Santander was on base after getting a single. But he ends up getting the MVP honors. Paul Skeens, he was in there for that first inning to go up against Stephen Kwan, and then went up against Gunnar Henderson. He walked Juan Soto, and then Aaron Judge was a one pitch, I believe, ground out to third base is how that went out. So it was a pretty anticlimactic appearance from Paul Skeens. One of the favorite things of this All-Star game was seeing Mason Miller out there throw a 103.7 mile per hour fastball, I believe is what it was.
Yeah, he hit 104 against the Mariners the other night as well.
Dude is flames. Should be shopped. Should be a Baltimore Oriole. Along with someone else who was in that All-Star game, but we're going to get into some trade deadline stuff in the second hour. But the All-Star weekend is done in Texas. American League wins. They do not have home field advantage, that ending about 7 years ago with the All-Star break. Good little All-Star game.
This time it counts. And I will say that Nike has absolutely ruined jerseys, not just in MLB, but all sports. They have added all these crappy, ugly combos, and apparently we're all supposed to buy them all. No, I still try to pick one style and just sit on that. Plus, I don't believe that people have $140 to spend on jersey after jersey after jersey over and over again. And compared to last year's All-Star jerseys, they were They were awesome. The teal and the blue to match Seattle. The American League were the teal, and those look clean. They were the first version of these vapor jerseys that they're using in this year's version of baseball that everybody hates. But as far as like the actual design,
yeah, I'm looking at them again.
They looked clean. They looked way cleaner than this.
I mean, I was going to say they're better than this.
They
weren't
the bastion of like artistic success for design of jerseys, but they were better than this.
Low bar to clear, though.
Well, you're not wrong. That's true.
Also, I'm going to go on record and say that my least favorite City Connect jersey of all the City Connects is the Phillies. I do not like it whatsoever. I haven't read any description as to why they made the choices they did.
Yeah.
But the gradient black to blue with the blue and the yellow and colors that aren't even their teams. And I understand there are some teams that are using non-traditional colors for their City Connect, but the Phillies, I just absolutely hate. I don't like them whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't like the Twins either. And actually, frankly, all of the City Connect jerseys I'm out on, because that alone, that move with the City Connect jerseys, with Nike creating those, forced the Mariners to get rid of their gray road jersey. Teams are allowed only 5 uniform slots under the new Nike design rules or whatever.
I like the Mariners City Connect jerseys.
I know, it's not that I don't like the City Connect jerseys, but Nike then implemented rules and forced the Mariners, I believe they were the only team to lose their road jersey, their road grays. They have to wear that blue, that dark blue on the road, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, Minnesota's is kind of weird. Those blue ones as well. I'm not really feeling those.
Wacky design.
I could scan through all these. The one that I do, there's a couple that I don't mind. Tampa Bay's is kind of cool.
Yes, I agree
with that. Highlighter green and the gray and the purple caps or the purple bills on their cap. There's something about that Colorado Rockies, the green with like the mountain design on it. I really like those for some reason.
Yeah, I actually hate those, but I guess I could see why you like them. I think they look like an old postcard from 1992, but maybe that's the draw.
I'm a sucker for green, though. Like dark green, you know, green's one of my favorite colors. So it's like there's something about that jersey, that the green on the white, that's pretty sick. But yeah, All-Star break. It is wrapped up. It is finished. We will continue play in the second half of this MLB season. On Thursday, I believe. Actually, Friday.
No, I think everybody starts Friday.
Yeah, Friday. I was going to say, I saw that my Orioles, they start up again on Friday. And yes, it is Friday that the games will commence in the second half of the MLB. And the second half of this show will be up next here. We will get into some trade deadline stuff. Rob Manfred was saying some things about the future of the MLB and some changes to come. And we got a fair or foul to do. We got fair or foul, correct?
We can do a fair foul with each other.
Oh, that's right. Did you prepare one?
I prepared 3 questions, but it's
I have to ask because classic me back in the day as a producer, it'd be like, yeah, Patrick would say that. And I'd just be like, yeah, no, I mean, I don't think
it just doesn't sound like I don't want to just stump you. I mean, we can talk about some fun, hot topics around baseball, but like, I just feel like it doesn't hit as hard. But
it is fun.
Let's do it.
It is fun. It is fun. Second hour, Hot Corner, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, 1080.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.